Hey, wrestling fans, Brian the Brain here. It is 1:18 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and it's the aftermath of Battle of Los Angeles 2016, night one, and I just got back from the show. What a crazy fun night, guys, seriously. First of all, thank you for all the positive reception and all the great compliments and all the free drinks for making those cards. It's really cool for the response and everything I got. All the wrestlers loved them. All the fans loved them. All the ones I handed out to. People were coming up to me. Apparently, out of the rare cards that I made, Legion Larry is by far the most sought after Charizard Pokemon card, if you want to call it. So, pretty cool, man. Just the fact that people responded the way I wanted them to, like, you know, with the Pokemon card kind of feel to it. That's the kind of feeling I wanted to evoke with these cards, and it really came to fruition, and it was really awesome to see people just like freak out over the secret cards that we get and shit like that. So thank you to all the people that supported me. I still got more sets to give out tomorrow. I tried to get one out for Stu, but I talked to Will Ospreay, and he says he's not gonna, he really doesn't like have a chance to see Stu face to face a lot, so I'm gonna try to get a set out to Stu. You know, he's one of the main guys behind the Indie Corner, so shout out to him. And this audio review is going to be on the Indie Corner, so it's going to be like a dual-branded podcast, I guess, review, whatever you want to call it here, for Indie Corner and PW Pondering. So representing both websites right now. It's late. It's 1:20 in the morning. I got to say, it was a fun night, but it had some stumbles a little bit. As you know, or as you don't know, actually, the opener was Pentagon Jr. and Marty Scurll. As I thought, they would try to break each other's arms. They tried to, you know, just a crazy awesome match right off the bat. This was like a really, the crowd really got into it before the match even started. As you'd expect, these two were just super, super over. Pentagon Jr. was my pick to win the tournament. He did not win, unfortunately, but he will be there night two. Makes me think he might be there for night three, but he was my pick, man. I mean, he just won the AEW Heavyweight title. He defended against Tommaso Ciampa last night. Or I guess the other night from tonight, I guess, theoretically, Thursday night. And just, you know, a tremendous run that Pentagon Jr. is having right now in the Indies. And I thought it would carry over here in Bola. But I guess they're going to push the guy that they were, you know, slightly pushing last year, Marty Scurll, and have him have another run of the tournament. So really good match. Great way to start the show. Kind of surprised that Pentagon Jr. tapped, but it was a dramatic finish. So the fans were able to buy into it and not really turn on Marty Scurll as much as I thought they would. But I mean, there were some boos, and then people still love Marty Scurll. So, you know, just a great performance by both guys. And as you know, Marty Scurll knows how to finish a match. And he certainly was the architect behind finishing this great match, and especially the ending when, I don't want to spoil too much because there was a great, like, finish at the end. Basically, Marty Scurll kicked out of the package pile driver, and everything went downhill for Pentagon Jr. after that. So I'll just leave it at that. The second match of the show was Ricochet and Jeff Cobb. Just an unbelievable match. I think this is the match of the show, match of the night. Just unbelievable stuff. I think actually Jeff Cobb is better as Jeff Cobb than he is as Montanza. He gets to, you know, do a little more here and there. He gets to do like different, you know, he does the same moves, but just different parts of the match, and doesn't have to act so, you know, withdrawn and emotionless as he does when he plays Montanza. This was a great match, probably the match of the night. Just that clash of styles between the guy who can basically, you know, I think Jeff Cobb, if you put him up against anybody, he can have a good match, good to great match right now, just because of his style and the way he can throw anyone around and the way he can adapt to almost any style. He really adapted to Ricochet's, you know, light heavyweight kind of style. Basically, it was just a story of, you know, Cobb throwing him around and then Ricochet trying to get the advantage here and there by like countering here and there, and eventually enough counters and enough countering all the power moves leads to a good finish for Ricochet, and he wins at the end. But just a great match, the way they built up all the false finishes and stuff, just tremendous stuff. Jeff Cobb is certainly a guy you want to look out for, and he's my pick to be a guy you can kind of build PWG around in 2017, because he's a guy who can, he doesn't have to fly in, he can drive in, and he can still be your world champion and have these awesome matches. So I think there's a lot of potential in Jeff Cobb in the future for PWG, and even though he didn't win here, he's, you know, still losing to a guy who's got a lot of, I mean, Ricochet's been with the company for, what, almost 5-6 years now? Just a tremendous run in PWG, even though he's never really had that world title run. But still, this was a great match, and I think that this will really put Cobb, as Jeff Cobb, you know, not Matanza, but as Jeff Cobb on the map as, like, a guy to, like, I mean, he's getting shots here and there all over, you know, the U.S. right now, but I feel like he should be getting more shots around the country, and this is just, I know, this was just a statement kind of match, you know what I mean? The next match, if I can go through my notes, was, yes, John Hedigan and Matt Sydal. This was kind of underwhelming. The people around me were not really feeling this. About 5 minutes into the match, people were like, is this match going to get any better? This is kind of boring. I didn't really think it was that boring. I just felt like they were kind of building up that kind of big last 5 minutes of stretch in the match. And they kind of went for that with the near falls and the high spots and everything. But it just wasn't quite clicking. People felt this was like too WWE-ish. And I was like, well, come on. They're both from that system back in the day. So it's not really surprising they went this kind of route. Even though it might have been like subconsciously they went this kind of WWE style. But I know they were trying to build up to a big finish. They hit some cool spots at the end. It just wasn't really clicking with the audience. Because people were coming up to me at intermission just like, yeah, that, I was not feeling that match at all. And it was understandable, but maybe they're just kind of Sammy Morrison or Hennigan or whatever you want to call him, a John of many names, as a guy to build as one of the heels to go into night three. Because you always need in a tournament, like, a guy to be that heel that kind of cheats to the finals or cheats his way. That way you kind of have that babyface to root for in the finals against that cheating heel who made his way to the finals or whatever. So the way that John Hennigan is going right now, it wouldn't surprise me if he cheats. Because he did do a low blow in the match and Justin just let it go because Justin's the worst ref in history. But basically, you know, Hennigan was cheating. He still won. So it wouldn't surprise me if he goes to the finals just like cheating in every match just to have that one heel in the finals that you can root against and kind of build up to that big emotional finish where the babyface overcomes the cheating heel in the end. So maybe that's the route they're taking, who knows, but this was kind of disappointing, but I wasn't as disappointed as most people. Maybe it'll come off better on DVD with the commentary or whatnot. So after that, we had my notes. Oh, yes, Phoenix and Ospreay, probably the second best match of the night. This was just unbelievable. You would think with the language barrier that they would kind of have some, you know, misbotched spots here and there, but they actually didn't. They really worked smoothly together. I don't think they ever worked together before, but this was truly like a dream match. Like when I was watching this match, I felt like, wow, this is the only time we're going to get Phoenix Will Ospreay maybe, because, you know, Will Ospreay's New Japan, Progress Wrestling, the UK scene, basically now kind of Ring of Honor. And then you got Phoenix, who's just Lucha Underground and not really AAA anymore, because Phoenix, in case you people didn't know, no show Triple Mania this weekend. So who knows what's going on with Phoenix, the Pentagon Jr., two people who are closely associated with each other in such of a family kind of manner. That's all I'm going to say about that. But this was just unbelievable high flying, unbelievable counters. Yeah, you know, for these two, there was some like, you know, I don't want to say unbelievable as in like, wow, that was amazing. But like, wow, they really like, come on, that was really like you went out of your way to set up that spot. You know what I mean? But that's kind of the way some of these big spot heavy kind of matches are. And that's kind of, you know, what do you expect with like a Phoenix Will Ospreay match? And this was just unbelievable. Tremendous counters. I think probably the spot of the whole night one was Phoenix likes to do the Spanish fly. He goes for the Spanish fly off the top rope on Will Ospreay, but they both land on their feet and the crowd just loses their shit. And that's probably the most memorable moment of night one. Just them landing on their feet and then staring eye to eye, going toe to toe, and just like, what? I countered your move. What? You know, just like, fucking A, dude. Will Ospreay and Phoenix are just tremendous athletes, and they really built around their athleticism in this match, and they really, like, put their athleticism on display. Just a tremendous match, and I really thought they really knocked it out of the park. And if it wasn't for Ricochet and Cobb having such an awesome match, too, this would have been match of the night, but it was almost as good, but just another amazing match. Definitely want to check out on DVD. And it sucks that Phoenix is not making it in a deeper, you know, deeper part of the tournament. It's just, you know, like all this talent, you got to think like 12 guys are going to be out of the first round. And those 12 guys are probably top level guys that, you know, probably don't deserve to be eliminated in the first round of a tournament because the tournament depth is so big and deep in this tournament. Like you got to have guys like that exit the first round. So, Even though we might not get Phoenix on night three, he could be in the multi-man tag match, who knows, along with Pentagon. But it seems like they might just do the tag match they're scheduled for with against Tommy Yan and Chris Hero tomorrow, and that might be it. Who knows? But at least they were able to come in and still have like an awesome performance. Both guys, Pentagon Jr. and Phoenix, just tremendous performances on this night. What can I say about both of them, man? They are really on top of their game. And hopefully they'll resolve whatever issues they have with AAA and still get that kind of, you know, national exposure. And hopefully this doesn't affect their Lucha Underground deal. So, you know, still cool to see them live here. Then we went to intermission. I got back a little late because I was just hanging out with people and handing out cards at intermission. So we came back and it was Zack Sabre Jr. and Tommy N. This was great. Like, they really, Tommy N has a tendency to just turn it up like 12 notches, so to speak. And like halfway through the match and just keep going and going and going with all these like strikes and everything and just go really fast sometimes. But this is a match where he really slowed things down with Sabre. They really built up to a good finish, and like it was just, you know, the story of the kicks versus like Sabre countering him and just catching the legs and just like sweeping him and putting all kinds of crazy submissions on Tommy N to counter all the kicks and the hard strikes. So kind of a clash of styles, but you know, Tommy N is very technically sound as well. People forget that. So it really built to some hot finishes, some great false finishes. This had the perfect amount of time, I thought. Just a great match, and Tommy N, just another great performance out of him. And who knows, from the rumors going around, he could be somewhere wrestling with yellow ropes in a black mat, so to speak. Wink, wink, nod, nod. By September, October. So this was, some people chanted, thank you, Ann, thank you, Tommy, whatever. But I think he's going to be back on night three. So, I mean, he's definitely going to be back tomorrow. I think people forgot that already. But he's got to be back for night three to have this big farewell, because it feels like, even though he's only been in PWG for like, what, a year and a half, maybe, you know, maybe 2 years, but he still made that big of an impact on the few appearances he had, especially the last couple of years, teaming up with like Sabre and Marty Scurll against like the Young Bucks and Roderick Strong last year in that tremendous match. So, you know, good for Tommy N, happy for his future, and we'll see where it goes. But I think he'll be back on night three to give a farewell, like a lot of people do on night three. So after that, we had, yes, Chris Hero and Jushin Thunder Liger. This really felt like the main event. It had that feel of a main event. I thought Liger was going over, just like Pentagon, but two of my picks for the finals are already gone out of the tournament. This was just great storytelling by Hero and Liger. I mean, they really told the story of Liger is just like, it was basically that Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels kind of story where you had the younger guy in Chris Hero, who's still a veteran, but a younger guy, and he's just like, you know, because of his age, he can just, you know, out-wrestle Liger and then out-strike Liger at every turn, and that was basically the match. And even though at the end, Liger hit the Liger bomb, he hit some palm strikes, he just didn't have enough to be a Hero. And that, and in theory, it makes sense. I mean, Liger's, what, 51, 52, wrestling a guy like Hero right now, and Hero is just on this unbelievable run. He's younger. And so it just made sense. I mean, Hero was the bigger guy. It made sense especially the way the match ended. It was basically just Hero overpowering Liger at every turn by the end. And even though Liger would have these brief comebacks and these brief near falls, Hero would just come back at the end and, you know, use his heavy weight and uses like his, he basically had the size advantage. So he just used that to his advantage and basically just took the match by the end and just did that elbow strike, the rolling elbow. Really good match, tremendous storytelling. Liger, man, he doesn't have to do a lot at 51, 52 and just put on these great matches, man. It's unbelievable that he can understand, he can read a crowd right off the bat and see how they're feeling and just kind of like tell the story. It was a great story, probably the best story of the whole night one about all the matches, even though probably Ricochet and Cobb was the better, you know, exciting match. This was definitely the more intriguing storyline driven match and just great storytelling all around. So, and then the main event, even though it did feel like the main event, was Dalton Castle and the boys. And the boys were not Trent and Chuck Taylor, as I predicted. They were Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish against Mount Rushmore of the Young Bucks and Matt and Adam Cole. This was a lot of fun. Not the match of the year candidate that we had last year with Euro Trash and Mount Rushmore. This was more of like a match just to, like, you know, send the crowd home happy, do some fun comedy spots, especially with Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish acting like the boys. Basically, the first half of the match, they were just acting as if they were the boys. They weren't even wrestling like themselves. Basically, they were just doing like the basic stuff and then just, you know, acting like as if they were the boys and fanning and fan up and all that kind of thing and just doing the gimmick. And then by halfway through, they basically went back to Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. It was pretty funny because the crowd played along. Like at the beginning, people in the crowd were like, who are these guys? I don't know these people. These people are completely new to me. And just, the crowd was just playing along with it. And by the time they took off their Mardi Gras mask or whatever you want to call it. The crowd reacted as if they finally recognized who these two people are. I'm like, oh my God, is that Bobby Fish? I thought that was Barry Horowitz for a second. You know, just shit like that. People were just having fun with the concept, so that was pretty fun. And the fact that a PWG crowd is smart enough to kind of play along with that is pretty awesome, too. A fun match, not a blow-away match of the year or anything like that. This was just kind of the match that you wanted to send the crowd home happy on the night one. So, overall, a fun show. I'd give like a 7.5 out of 10. Definitely check out the Ricochet-Jeff Cobb match. Definitely check out Will Ospreay and Phoenix. And if you can, check out Hero and Liger. I mean, because the Hero and Liger is truly like a dream match come true. I was thinking about it at the time, like, man, only maybe like Ring of Honor a few years ago where you could have pulled this match off, or maybe like maybe a WrestleCon you could kind of pull this match off, but PWG pretty much pulled the trigger first, and they really did a great job with this match. So shout out to those guys. Shout out to everybody for having a great night one. Night two is going to be even better. We got Cody Rhodes, Sami Callihan, Cedric Alexander, a bunch more guys that weren't even here. So it's going to be fun, man. Night one was great. Thank you to everybody for, you know, thanks for the drinks, people, David, everyone else. I'm pretty tired right now, so I'm kind of like on fumes right now. But yeah, I'm going to sleep in, and then I'm going to sleeve more cards because I got more cards to give away tomorrow. So yeah, it's been fun. Thank you for everything, and I'll talk again tomorrow for night two. So thanks for listening, and peace out.